Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Always appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire every week. We've been emphasizing Proverbs 14:12 the last few weeks. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because it seems to right to us, even in religion, what seems right to us might not be the right way. We've been talking about that for 4 or 5 weeks, actually, off and on. I mean, the gay church, it seems right to them to allow homosexuality and gay marriage. But it's not right. Then there are the ways of death. Churches that allow women to preach from the pulpit. That may seem right to them, but 1 Corinthians 14:35 says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 condemn homosexuality just like adultery, idolatry, drunkenness. It may seem right to sprinkle babies for baptism, but we see from passages like Acts 8:35-37, you have to believe first. We see from Romans 6:4 that baptism should be a burial. So just because it seems right, that doesn't mean it is right. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Here's another example. Salvation by faith only. That evidently seems right to a lot of people that salvation is by faith only. But salvation's not by faith only. We're going to show that from the Bible right now. It's just something that seems right to people, but the end thereof are the ways of death. For example, Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Salvation's not by faith only. Not only do you have to believe to be saved, according to Jesus, you have to be baptized to be saved. Salvation by faith only, therefore it's proven false. Now I know a lot of churches teach salvation by faith only, but that doesn't make it right just because the church teaches that. Because remember, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem right to churches like the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church to teach salvation by faith only, even though God has said dozens and dozens of times that's false. Salvation is not by faith only. I mentioned the Methodist Creed book. I mentioned the Methodist Church. Their creed book is famous for teaching salvation by faith only. Here's how it reads. Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. So they're saying salvation, justification is by faith only. It's the most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. But that stands in stark contrast to James 2:24, which reads this way. And this is what God said about it. And what he says is the only thing that really matters. He says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So the Methodist Church and other churches say justification by faith only is the most wholesome doctrine, very full of comfort. God says you are justified by works a man is justified and not by faith only. James 2:24. Who are you going to believe? The Methodist Creed book or these other churches and their preachers? Or are you going to believe what God says about it? That justification is by works and not by faith only. Justification, salvation is not by faith only. James 2:24 says by works a man is justified, not by faith only. How could you make it any clearer? Man says salvation is by faith only. God said it's not by faith only. It may seem right to man, Proverbs 14:12, to teach salvation by faith only, but the end thereof are the ways of death because it contradicts God's book. Now, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines right now are wide open. You can get on the air, 877-655-6755. The number to call if you would like to ask a Bible question or comment on the air, 877-655-6755. I won't bite your head off. Call up and ask your Bible question or make a Bible comment. Here's another verse I would like you to consider on the question of whether or not salvation is by faith only. Hebrews 5:9. This is talking about Jesus. It says, in being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Author, the English Standard Version says, source. Jesus then is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Meaning you have to obey him to receive eternal salvation. The fact that we have to obey him to receive eternal salvation doesn't make us the source. It doesn't mean we're saving ourselves. No, Jesus is the author or source. But the only ones that receive eternal salvation that comes from the source, the death of Christ, the only ones that receive it are those that obey him. salvation is not by faith only. You have to, like the song says, you probably sung the famous hymn, Trust and Obey. The hymn gets it right. All kinds of people are singing that hymn. They don't believe the words. The hymn says, trust and obey. That's what this verse says. You have to obey. Salvation is not by faith only. This says only those who obey Christ will receive eternal salvation from the source, Christ himself, the death of Christ. Let me read it again. See if you agree. In being made perfect, he, talking about Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. If God had wanted to say salvation is not by faith only, how could he have made it any clearer than what he said in James 2:24 and Hebrews 5:9? He couldn't have. That's, if you wanted to say salvation is not by faith only, the Bible said it in two verses, the most clear and unambiguous way that you can. There's no mistake about it. God is not ambiguous about it. It's very clear. The Bible says over and over again, teaches over and over again, salvation is not by faith only, but people want to believe salvation by faith only. It's wishful thinking. We're going to believe it because we want it to be true, even though the Bible teaches it's absolutely, patiently false. If you can think of a clearer way God could have said salvation is not by faith only than James 2:24, when he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, you call in and tell me how God could have made it clear so that you would believe this. Here's another passage. Matthew 7:21, Jesus speaking here, says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So who's going to heaven according to this? Those that do the will of the Father. Do you have to believe to go to heaven? Sure you do. John 3:16 and at least a dozen other passages teach that those that believe will be saved. You have to believe to be saved. But this verse says, to be with the Father in the heaven, you're going to have to do the will of the Father in heaven. It's not by faith only. It's trust and obey. Like I said, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Here's another passage I would like you to consider. Romans 10:13. Here's how that reads. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's obviously this verse is saying you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. In a moment, we'll talk about what that means. But whatever it means, you got to do it to be saved. Now, here's the next verse, Romans 10:14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, verse 14 is saying, you can't call upon God unless you believe first. And verse 13, it just got through saying, you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So see, salvation is not by faith only. Because he says you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, verse 13. And verse 14 says, you can't call upon the name of the Lord, whatever that means, until you believe first. You believe first, but you're still not saved. You believe first, then you call upon the name of the Lord, then you're saved. So salvation does not come at the point of faith. It does not come by faith only. You believe, according to the sequence of events in Romans 10, 13, and 14. First you believe, then you call upon the name of the Lord, then you're saved. You're not saved when you believe. A lot of churches will say, all you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to be saved. No, this says after you believe in Christ, after you, quote, accept him as your personal Savior, then you call upon the name of the Lord, then you're saved. That comes after belief. Okay, let's get back to the question, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? That's something that comes after belief and it's something you have to do to be saved. What does it mean to do that? Well, I think Acts 22:16 is helpful along these lines. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus, of course, that's what Paul, the apostle, was called before he was converted. It's in the book of Acts three times, Acts 9, 22, and Acts 26. Three times we read about the story of the conversion of Saul. And you'll remember, Saul is this very zealous Jew, very conscientious, but he thinks Christianity is the wrong thing. So he's out putting Christians in prison. Some of them he's putting to death. Jesus Christ appears to him supernaturally on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, Saul knows it's a voice from heaven. He knows it's God, but who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Saul said, well, what will you have me to do? Saul believes in Jesus at that point. I mean, how could you not believe in him? He speaks from heaven and says, I'm the Lord. I'm Jesus. You go into the city, it'll be told you what to do. In the meantime, Jesus sends Ananias to tell him what to do. And here's what Ananias told Saul to do in Acts 22:16. And now why tarriest thou? We would say in the South, what you waiting on? And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, Romans 10:13 says you have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Verse 14 says that comes after belief. Here we have Paul has believed on the road to Damascus. The people who say you're saved by faith only say he was saved on the road to Damascus, but at least 3 days later, he's being told to do something to get his sins washed away, to call upon the name of the Lord, to be baptized. We're all agreed it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins, Revelation 1, verse 5. But in the conversion of Saul, when did the blood of Christ wash away his sins? When he believed, that's salvation by faith only, or 3 days later when he was baptized? It was 3 days later when he was baptized. Let me read that verse again. What did Ananias tell Saul? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So his sins weren't washed away by the blood of Christ when he believed. They weren't washed away by the blood of Christ until he was baptized. It's trust and obey, just like the famous hymn says. You're not, salvation's not by faith only. If it were salvation by faith only or at the point of faith, Saul would have been saved from his sins when he believed in Christ on the road to Damascus. But here it is, at least 3 days later, he's being told to do something to get his sins washed away. By the blood of Christ, of course, but to do something to get his sins washed away. So obviously he wasn't saved by faith only, wasn't saved at the point of faith, because this is 3 days after he believed in Christ and he's still in his sins. He had to be baptized to get his sins washed away. That's how you call upon the name of the Lord. He says, rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The way you call upon the name of the Lord is by being baptized. If Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he did in Mark 16:16, then the way you call upon God, the way you ask God for salvation, is by believing and being baptized. It won't do any good to pray to God and say, God, please save me from my sins. Because theoretically, if he were to respond back, he would respond back this way. He'd say, what are you talking about? I've already told you what to do to be forgiven of your sins. Why are you asking me to save you from your sins? I've already told you if you'll believe and be baptized, you'll be saved from your sins. So the way that once God has said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he did in Mark 16:16, the way you call upon God, the way you ask God for salvation from sin is by doing what he said to do to get the forgiveness of sins, the salvation from sin. Believe and be baptized. Well, that's what Saul did. He had believed on the road to Damascus. He was still in his sins, though, until at least 3 days later, he was baptized. And then he completed the process of calling upon God to save him from his sins. And his sins were washed away. The power's not in the water. The power's in the blood. When are your sins washed away by the blood of Christ? Well, based upon what we've just read in Acts 9, 22, and 26, your sins are washed away. Not when you believe. They're washed away by the blood of Christ when you're baptized. You're not saved by faith only. That's pretty simple. But people don't want to believe it. They want to believe what they want to believe, what seems right to them. But Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We're proving, saying that you're saved by faith only is the way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It leads to eternal death. That's how serious this is. Give us a call if you have a Bible question or comment. 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Another verse I'd like you to consider is Romans 10, 9 and 10, which reads this way. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, a lot of people quote this passage to talk about salvation and what a person has to do to be saved without realizing that this passage proves conclusively you're not saved by faith only or at the point of faith, because it teaches you've got to believe in Christ. Not only that, believe in his resurrection, but you've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus to be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession that you believe in Christ can only come honestly after you already believe in Christ. But this passage says you have to do two things to be saved. It's not a complete list. It doesn't even mention repentance. You got to believe and you got to confess. You're not saved at the point of belief because it says you got to confess to be saved. Well, confession comes after belief. You're not saved by faith only. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. A lot of people like to quote John 3:16 as a passage that proves you're saved by faith only. You know, if that's the only verse we had in the whole Bible, I would probably believe that you're saved by faith only, but it's not the only verse. Here's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that does teach you got to believe in Christ to be saved, but it doesn't say you're saved by faith only. If it did teach that, then what would John 5:24 teach? If the fact that John 3:16 teaches you got to believe in Christ to be saved, that means that all you have to do is believe in Christ to be saved. What would John 5:24 teach? Here's that verse. Jesus speaking here says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What's Jesus saying there? He says, if you believe in the one that, believe on the one that sent me, you'll have everlasting life. In other words, believe in God the Father. Jesus is saying, if you believe in God the Father, you'll have everlasting life. Does that mean all you got to do is believe in God the Father? You don't have to believe in Christ? Now, it's possible to believe in God the Father without believing in Christ. In John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's very possible to believe in God without believing in Jesus. The Jews and Muslims do that. They believe in, both believe in the God of Abraham, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. So they believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. And in John 5:24, Jesus said, he that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Does that prove that all you got to do is believe in God, the one that sent Jesus, and you'll have everlasting life? That it's given the complete list, that's all you have to do? You say, no, the other verses teach you got to do more than believe in God. Other verses teach you got to believe in Jesus. Well, then why can't we say the same thing about John 3:16? It says you got to believe in Jesus to be saved. Why do you think that's the only condition you have to meet in order to be saved? Why don't you believe the same thing about John 5:24? The truth is neither verse is telling you everything you have to do to be saved. No verse. You're never going to learn the truth on anything by just looking at one verse. The Bible teaches you got to look at everything the Bible has to say. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. We mentioned repentance. If a sinner is saved by faith only, that would mean he doesn't have to repent to be saved. People don't realize that would be the consequences, but that would be the consequences. If you're saved by faith only, all you got to do to be saved is believe. That means a gay believer could be saved, even though he's not willing to repent. But we have many verses like the following that teaches that's false. Acts 11:18, then God hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You got to repent to be saved. Acts 3:19, repent ye and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You got to repent to get your sins blotted out. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let me read that again since I fumbled over it. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Those three verses and a host of others teach you got to repent to be saved. If all you got to do to be saved is believe, and that's what people are concluding from John 3:16, though they won't use the same reasoning on John 5:24, which I've proven. That's what they're concluding. That would rule out having to repent to be saved. But these verses and probably a dozen more teach you got to repent to be saved. Anybody that teaches you, believes you got to repent in order to be saved, then is believing that you're not saved by faith only. It takes faith and repentance. If you're saved by faith only, that would mean you're saved without repentance, confession, or calling on the name of the Lord. All of those things happen after you believe. And you could be saved without those things if you're saved by faith only, without repentance, confession, or calling on the name of the Lord. James 2:22 says this, by works, talking about Abraham, was faith made perfect. So if you're saved by faith only, you're saved without a complete faith. 1 John 2:5 says, whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. So if you're saved by faith only without keeping his word, then you're You're saved with an imperfect love, because until you keep his word, you don't have a perfect love. James 2:19 says the devils also believe and tremble. So if you're saved by faith only, the devils are going to be saved. They have faith only. Cole, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, how you doing today? I was just had a question about preterism and a couple different things. I don't know any time in history that the River Euphrates was dried up and the world armies came down on Israel. And the other thing is that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, but then John was prophesied of a rebuilt temple in 96 when he was out there writing the book of Revelation.
You know, Revelation sets the stage for when that is a no doubt a book of prophecy. It sets the stage in the very beginning when, at least for the most part, the prophecy of the book of Revelation was going to be fulfilled. You may be familiar with Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Verse 3, blessed he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So for at least for the most part, the prophecy of the book of Revelation was to occur shortly in the first century time frame. Henry from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, my Bible question is there one verse that sums all that up to where faith alone does not save you? You have to be baptized into Jesus Christ in order to be saved so he can wash away your sins? Is there one
verse? No, there's never going to be one verse that teaches all the truth on any subject. Never going to be one verse. That's why God gave us the whole Bible. But Jesus said, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter told believers in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Ananias told Saul in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. So there's all kinds of passages that tell you got to believe, you got to repent of your sins, you got to love God, you got to confess Christ, you got to be baptized. You put it all together, Henry, and then you find out everything that a sinner has to do to become a Christian, okay?
All right. Thank you.
What do you think? Do you see that in Acts 2:38 where Peter told believers, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? That it's not faith only,
yes,
you got to repent and be baptized?
And repentance just, well, what does repent mean? It means to make a change or acknowledge that you have sinned and you want to turn your life over to Christ so you won't continue in sin. Is that basically what repentance means?
Yeah, but it's more than acknowledge. You're committing to change in your life. You're going to quit serving sin. You're going to start serving righteousness. So if you're in the habit of getting drunk, you're repenting of that. You're going to quit getting drunk. If you're in the habit of committing adultery against your wife, you repent of that. You're going to quit committing adultery against your wife. You're repenting of your sins. Baptism won't do any good unless you repent first. I'm sorry about my sins, and I'm committed to changing my life. I'm going to quit serving sin, start serving righteousness. That's the terminology of Romans 6. Does that make sense, Henry?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It does.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Henry. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So for 1 John 2:5, whoso keepeth his word, the love of God is perfected. So if we're saved by faith only, we're saved with an imperfect love. The devils also believe and tremble, James 2:19. If you're saved by faith only, the devils would be saved. We're going to have to go off the air. 1 John 2:10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So if you're saved by faith only, then you can be saved without loving your brother, without being in the light. We could go on and on about this, and maybe we'll do some more of these things next week, but we've kind of run out of time. Let me mention this. BibleCrossfire.com is the website where you can go ask me any Bible question, or you can sign up for a Bible correspondence course, or hear any of my old programs, the Bible Crossfire programs. Or you can sign up for a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience. But you can do that right here and now. If you would like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, I want you to call or text me at 256-682-9753. That's my cell number. free 1 hour phone Bible study with me at your convenience. 256-682-9753. Call or text me.